This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Arvin and Christine. Christine, we're asking people how are they clearing up their annual leaves. We put up a poll on Twitter. We've also asked people to let us know via WhatsApp. It's 01-8789-8899. What do we have?
All right. So on WhatsApp here, we've got a message from Michael who says, I save my vacation days, then take every Monday off for the final 2 months of the year. No more Monday blues. That is genius.
Good plan. Yeah.
That is genius.
Michael, good job.
I think
a few people in BFM do the same thing as well, because we, you know, we tend to struggle trying to clear up our leaves especially when it comes to November, December, and you know, every one of us will be like, HR will come up to you and go like, you know, you need to clear your leave. You can only carry forward a certain amount of days and you have to clear it by February next year. So what we tend to do is most of us will take a Monday or a Friday off, and you know, you have like your long weekend. Monday sounds nice now.
It sounds nice.
No more Monday blues.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. And also all the banks and stuff are open on Monday. So everything is, it's not a weekend that you're having off. Yeah, you can do any, you know, run any errands and finish up your work and stuff.
Nice.
What do we have on Twitter, Christine?
All right. Well, on Twitter, we have a tweet from The Visitor Q, who says, this is a good idea, although not all of us are lucky enough to have jobs that allow this and the resources to do so, which is totally fair and totally understandable. From @deade_83, at least 1 week vacation and then micro vacations for video games, which, you know,
my
what
kind of holiday
they are, in fact, time consuming. So
yes.
I understand that. Our very own Rich Bradbury @MrRich says, a combination of the two would be ideal. One long vacation per year and then top it up with a couple of weekend breaks. Perfect.
Yeah, because especially for Richard, when he goes back to the UK, like, you know, Christine as well mentioned, when you travel to, you know, certain parts of the world, you need longer than just a weekend, right?
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, one weekend, you know, a week and a half holiday to Europe, US, Japan, when you do all those kind of things. But then in between, squeeze in this, you know, minor breaks here and there, because you'd be burnt out if you're just saving up for one big 1 month holiday. It's insane. It's madness. Arvin, let's talk about Jeff Bezos, because he's a man that has a lot of time on his hand and a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. Money more than time.
Money more than time, yeah.
So last year when he came and, you know, they were saying that he's going to be the richest man in the world and stuff, he's going to overtake Bill Gates. A lot of people started asking him why he doesn't donate. Like, why doesn't he give to charity? Why doesn't he...
Because Bill Gates has his foundation
and foundation
and
stuff.
Right.
So what he did was, I think he went on Twitter, then he started asking people for suggestions. Like, where should he put his money, like philanthropy and stuff, like what he should do. So most of the people said that he should invest in schools or open schools, do something for education. So he decided on that, and then now he says that he's going to create a network of non-profit preschools that are to be built in low-income communities and accept students at no charge. I'm guessing it's completely free for any students that join the preschool.
So parents who are, you know, struggling on the lower income, you know, not earning enough, and, you know, education could be maybe expensive, but then here you go. It's a free education then.
Yeah.
By Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
So there's a fund. He's going to fund existing nonprofits that help homeless families by providing access to housing and food. And it'll also be overseen by something that he's calling Bezos Day One Fund. He's giving the fund $2 billion first. There's no mention if he will increase the amount that he's going to give. But he's breaking it up into two different families. More like it's like Day One Families Fund, and then there's a Day One Academies Fund. So the Families Fund will issue grants on a yearly basis to organizations doing needle-moving work. And the Academics Fund will be in charge of launching and operating a network of schools entirely on its own. So one is sort of like self-sustaining. It'll also be, he says that they won't be cheap schools. They will be high-quality Montessori-inspired schools that will offer full scholarships to all students. And he also says, and this is the most interesting part, he says that he wants to directly control the school's operations so that they can be run like Amazon and adopt Amazon's principles. And then
he uses
the word the child will be the customer.
Okay, so this went from philanthropic to real creepy real quick.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's one thing to... And you know what? Good on him at least for trying to do something productive and helpful with the insane amount of money that he does have. Good on that. However, I think there is a difference between a school and like a weird little pseudo Amazon educational system.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable with that particular thing.
Yeah. Jeff, if you're listening to this, I feel like I'm talking to myself. If you're listening to this, Jeff, don't turn Montessori education into an Amazon business, because it's two different things.
Yeah.
You can't track every single student that, you know, go into the schools and then you're like, oh, what's your behavior today? Would you like this since you like that?
Yeah.
And also, I think one big problem with, you know, the education system in general is that a lot of people look at it as a business more than it is a tool to help educate the future generation. And when you start looking at the money that the education system can bring, then a lot of things start to fall by the wayside. So, for example, a lot of teachers that I know have to pay out of their own pocket for resources in their classrooms. Mm. And that's a great example of how they want to cut costs, for example, right? Like the school itself as a business, not as a school. So I think it's dangerous. Mm. And I think, you know, if you're approaching something that's as important for the future generation as education, step carefully. You know what I mean?
But if, like, if you look at, I think the way he's saying it is that he wants to treat every student that comes into his school the same way he treats his customers.
Mm. Yeah, but that hasn't been really good so far, has it, right?
I think the employees hasn't been so good. Yeah. I don't think the customers are suffering.
Customers are
happy, right? Yeah. So the way I see it is that he's saying that he wants to give students the full experience that Amazon gives its customers. He's not looking at the people in the middle. So the employees might be the teachers. He's not mentioning anything about them. He's like, yeah, maybe you would have to like not take bathroom breaks and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, but you know, the students who come in will be treated exactly the same way he you know, gives priority to people who buy stuff on Amazon, which is top notch.
There's no, how it goes, I think, this one. We'll see how it goes.
But I like the fact that he's going after the preschool kids itself, right? These are really young Montessori, you know, students who are like, I think they're like from 3 years old to maybe 6 years old. And then after that, you go on to your, you know, junior high school itself, right? So kids at that age, my mom runs a Montessori kindergarten and has been doing it for many years now. And they absorb like a sponge. Like she would just, you know, just keep upping up the level that they could learn just because they're so absorbent of every information that you give. At one point in time, I remember a few years back, you know, my mom had this student who was, I think, about 5 years old, but could do her multiplies and her subtractions up to like, you know, five digits just using her mind. And she would just, you know, bang. And while she's in the car, she would do her times table of, you know, what's, you know, like 310 multiplied by 19. And then she just like, you know, in her head, I mean, she's a super genius, but you know, they could do that because they're just like a sponge at that age. And it's great that, you know, Jeff Bezos is looking at that sector instead of, you know, the high schools or the universities itself. Because I think in America, they're lucky enough to have a good education system that's provided by the government. So maybe that's not an area where people struggle with, but it's the preschools. You know, those may be expensive for them that, you know, they have to do homeschooling instead, right?
Yeah.
So good on him. But don't turn it into an Amazon business, Jeff. Yeah. Like, that's just, stay away from it.
The only thing, the only way I see this is that maybe the only payment that they are giving him is data. So the more people who join his schools, the more he'll be able to study, or Amazon will be able to study algorithms or sort of mold these people, because Amazon will be with them from the time they're in preschool.
It'll
become a household. I know how creepy it sounds, but it'll be like a household name. It'll be like, oh, I went to Amazon's preschool.
Oh, you know, as they grow up.
And it'll have that sense of like nostalgia with them, something that sticks with them as they grow up.
I just feel like anyone who goes into Amazon's preschool just come out the same. Like everyone's just going to be exactly the same. Like it's so molded into the algorithm. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing is, I did see a lot of the dissent, you know, against Jeff Bezos. A lot of them especially were calling for things like, why don't you help the people in Flint, Michigan who still don't have clean water, by the way. Mm-hmm. Just saying, you know, stuff like that. So I do appreciate that he's at least trying to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's nice.
Anyways, going back to our question for today, how are you clearing up your annual leave? Do you take like long vacations? Do you take short micro vacations? Or are you one of those who go like, what? Vacations? What's that? That's a poll up on Twitter. Let us know which is your preference. Also, let us know what are you doing over this long weekend. You could send in a WhatsApp. It's 018-789-8899. We're on Insta Story as well. We'll give you a few mentions after the break. This is Ask by The Smith, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. 9.9, the business station.